Good afternoon, brothers and sisters. How are you all today? Okay? You're fine? Very good. Vous êtes bien? Are you good? Let's go through our weekly ritual. Who is new here on my left? You look somewhat new. Tell us your name and how you got to know about this group.
My name is Pearl.
Pearl?
Yeah. I'm just a passerby.
Huh? Oh, you just passerby?
Yeah.
Wow. Welcome, welcome. How come passerby today? Just happened to pass by. Happened to pass by. Oh, good. Yeah. How many of you, who else passed by today? You also passed by. You want to introduce yourself? The one. Your mind keep on passing here, passing there. What about you? Have you introduced yourself before?
My name is David.
David?
Yeah. I was invited by my friend.
Marcel. I see. Welcome, welcome. I think Marcel can go and claim a free drink already. He has introduced almost every week one or two new person. Yeah, but every week after that, the person don't come back again. Yeah, after the session, did your friend tell you after the session, too xiong, cannot. welcome. What's your name again? Sorry, David. Yeah. David. Do you see Goliath around? David versus Goliath. You know the story? No. Welcome. Okay, the rest are all season parking. Please remember to renew your parking coupon. Can we have the projector today? Today's topic is house blessing. Ask me anything. Yeah, so at the end of every month, we have a Ask Me Anything series, yeah, short AMA. Yeah, so this concept, yeah, online. So sometimes on some forums, such as Reddit.com, then there'll be somebody who create a new discussion thread, and it's titled AMA. Or they will put a title, AMA, I'm a doctor. Yeah, AMA, I'm a this or I'm a that. Yeah. So in this way, then people know that this person is of a certain role, and you can basically, this person is opening himself or herself up for people to ask him or her anything. Yeah. So today's topic is house blessing. Yeah, so you can ask me anything about house blessing. The trick about conducting such a series is just be prepared. You can ask anything, but I may not know everything. So to get the ball rolling, how many of you have invited a venerable to conduct house blessing before? Small number. So maybe I should ask another question first. How many of you don't know what is house blessing? Mm. Okay. So to help you all with the understanding, I have drawn a house here. So this is a standard primary school house. Yeah. Yeah, in primary school. I don't know about the primary school nowadays, but in my time, we draw houses in this way. I think I've improved over the years. Yeah, the house looks quite decent. I drew it after I arrived, just now when I was sitting here. Of course, over the years, when we look at this house design, we realize that in Singapore, it's very hard to have this kind of house. Most of us will never own such a house. Partly because if you look at the door is so small, right? That means the person is either... So the window is very high. Or the person is this tall, so you can see the window, but it's very small door. Either very high window or very small door. But even more importantly, this looks like a landed flat. So in Singapore, quite difficult to get a landed flat. Yeah. More correctly, in Singapore, they should teach primary school kids to draw HDB kind of design. Yeah. You know, they should draw HDB like that. Yeah. Or maybe they just draw lines to represent the floor. Yeah. So anyway, all of you know what a house is, right? Yeah, whether it's an apartment or a semi-detached terrace house and so on. A house is a building or a part of a building that you stay in. So what do you all understand about the word blessing? What does it mean by blessing? Do you all know? What does it mean? I already solved half the equation for you. I draw a house for you already, Ma. Blessing, how about the word blessing? What does it mean? Yes?
The house
will
be like
safe. Oh no, don't talk about house first. What does blessing mean to you? Come again? Louder, louder.
Lucky.
So for him, having blessing means to become lucky. Lucky. You know lucky? Not the dog, but like you buy 4D, then you get 4, then you win. That means you're lucky. Yeah. If you win the consolation prize, lucky or not? Depends. If you buy 4D, do you hope to win consolation or do you hope to win the top 3 prize? How many of you don't wish to win the top 3 prize when you buy 4D? Okay, that's another topic altogether. A blessing here, when we say lucky, what does lucky entail? Yeah, if you think about it, there are a lot of different ways we can feel lucky, but it all boils down to one thing: getting what you want. You think about all the different scenarios of feeling lucky. Wow, I didn't study. Heng. Wow, I passed. Yeah. Is it that you want to pass or don't want to pass? You want to pass and you get it. Yeah. And especially, you feel lucky when you're not supposed to pass, but you somehow pass, then you feel lucky. If you study very hard and you pass, do you feel lucky? You don't feel lucky. Every day when you cross the road, there's no car and it's green man and you cross the road safely, do you feel lucky that you cross safely? You don't feel lucky. When you wake up in the morning, do you feel lucky? You wake up, whoa, I'm alive. I'm so lucky to be alive. Do you feel lucky? You don't feel lucky, right? Now take a deep breath. Breathe in. Breathe out. Do you feel lucky like you can breathe? You don't feel lucky, right? Nothing special, ma. Why? Because of our expectations. We expect that we can breathe. So when you can breathe and you expect you can breathe, no big deal. Yeah. But if you don't expect that you can breathe and you can breathe, wow, very lucky leh. Yeah. But actually the fact is, there are many things that we expect, but actually it's our own wishful thinking that we should be like that, no? Yeah. So in fact, if you look carefully, there are a lot of things that we are very blessed already. Like being able to wake up this morning. Yeah. And then tonight, when we go back to our house, how many of you feel that your house is very blessed? Raise your hand. Those who have invited Sifu to go for house blessing before, you all should raise your hand. You know, I don't know about other people. The blessing I give is long-term validity one. It doesn't have an expiry date one. Yeah, If there's expiry date for blessing, then you need to keep on, you know, calling me back, you know. That one is a different kind of blessing. When you go back home or you wake up in the morning and you look around your house, do you feel very blessed to be in your house? Don't just say yes lah. Don't give me more than answer. Yeah, most of the time, okay lah, to be fair, maybe some of us when we wake up we really feel blessed, you know. But sometimes when we wake up, we don't feel anything. Not that we feel dissatisfied, but many times we don't feel much. Yeah, because, Sufu, what do you expect? When I sleep yesterday, the house was like that. Tomorrow, of course, it should be like that, ma. Correct or not? You don't expect your house to suddenly change, right? Yeah. Yesterday, there's window when you sleep. Tomorrow, wake up, the window gone. You don't expect that, right? Yeah, but in some countries, you can expect that, you know? Yeah. I don't say which country lah. I mean, because, you know, some people may misinterpret lah. But there was a country I went to for a short retreat. And so a student offered his brother's new house. It's a new gated community. So each one is like something like a terrace house. So I felt a bit, how do I put it? I feel a bit like paiseh lah. Oh, wow, new house, then, you know, because if it's my student, I don't mind. But student's brother's new house. So I don't know the brother also don't attend my class. Then I like, eh. So I said, okay, we take a look. But maybe you show me whether there are other places we can rent for 3 months or something. So he said, not so good lah, but I can bring you around. So he brought me around the other nearby estates. You know what I saw? Some of the houses, the gate is missing. The window grill is missing. The window is missing. The lamp is missing. All kinds of things missing, you know. And then when we walked past some of the newly built those shop houses, you know, in Singapore, outside the house, you sometimes will see this box power meter. Yeah. Over there, when I look at the power meter, there's no power meter. There's the cable and nothing attached to it. So I see every single one. Then my student noticed me looking at the power cable. Then he said, oh, Sifu, these are new units and it doesn't have the power meter installed yet. So I'm like, then, but why is it left like that? Because in Singapore, once the building is ready for people to come and, you know, rent or buy or whatever, everything is installed. You don't ever see bare cable like that. So he explained, he said, because once it's installed, it's not the duty of the power service provider or the estate. Once they install it, they must install a security grill over it. They must latch it and bolt it down and everything. Because if they just install it and it doesn't belong to anyone, there's no security, people will unscrew the whole thing and take the power meter, you know, can you imagine? Take it away and run off. And if you have a house there and you don't stay there for a while, just 1 week or 3 days or what, people will remove your window grill. You know? So in some countries, such things happen, you know. Yeah. Tonight you sleep, there's window. Tomorrow maybe when you wake up, no window, no. But in Singapore, when you sleep at night, do you expect the window is gone tomorrow? We don't. And so, over time, we get used to that house is like that, quite permanent, you know. Yeah, you don't feel any surprise anymore when you wake up in the morning. So as a result, you don't feel that it's a blessing. Supposed to be, ma. Things that are supposed to be, what's so special? You don't feel lucky, hence don't feel any blessing at all. If you think that that country is bad, I also heard from this other venerable, exact country I don't tell you, but South America. Yeah. So we were in US, so this venerable was ever posted to South America to stay in the monastery there before. And he told us over there the windows, like over here you have window, right? But there's no grill. Yeah. You know Singapore pawn shop? Yeah. I mean, not that you go pawn shop, But you ever walk past, you can see the grill, right? The traditional, like the, you know, when you watch those period drama, yeah, the Western period drama, then there's the metal grill, tick, tick, like that, yeah. So he says that in the monastery, you know, that he was in, all the windows have the grill installed. Yeah, why? Because people will break into the temple, break into the monastery. Yeah, they don't distinguish this place of worship or this religious place, you know, not so good karma, you know. 打主意也不要打到, but over there, they are very equal. Yeah, don't care who you are. If you don't secure it, they will break in and they will take things away. Yeah, the Venerable told us, in that country, they even have to keep on reminding the devotees who come that they cannot just help themselves to things in the temple. Yeah, if you don't explicitly tell them you cannot take this back, whatever is not latched down, they will take and go home after the service. Yeah. And if you think that this is only in other countries, I was told by this senior monk when I stayed in one of the temples in Singapore. He said, so every day, you know, when it's about 4 plus 5 after the puja, then he will lock up the temple, then he will move the, you know this box, this kind of box, he'll move it, he'll unlock it, then move it in. Yeah. Some places it's just latched down. So he explained to me, he said, you may be wondering, how come temples have to, you know, lock up? And how come the donation box have to be latched down to the floor? Yeah. So I said, yeah, how come? I was quite surprised because I was back for a short visit. Yeah, that was back in 2005. So in our monastery in US, our mountain gate is not even locked. It's just latched. And sometimes when we come in, we don't even close the gate. Yeah. And our rooms, we usually don't lock the, like, nothing is locked. Some of the seniors say, when you come in, you make sure you close the gate. Yeah. And then I was like, why? And he shared with me that in US, if you don't close the gate and people come in, they are technically not trespassing. But if you close the gate, even if you don't lock, if it's closed and they come in, the moment they cross, they are trespassing. And if they, not that we want to shoot them or anything, we don't have guns, but if they trespass and they fall down, they cannot sue you. not that we want to go around suing people or people, but in the US, that's the culture. You know, so every country is different, you know. Yeah. Then what about in that temple I mentioned? So the senior monk told me, he said, long time ago, yeah, the monks in Singapore are also, you know, very open, everything is open. So one day they do puja, and you know the Chinese puja, towards the end, then they recite San Kui Yi, the Three Refuge. So all everybody will be facing the front, right? So Zi, Kui Yi, Fo. So wow, one refuge take a long time. Finish, then bow, then stand up, then after tiang 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 here, tiang there, then Dharma Refuge. Tiang 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 tiang. Then Sangha Refuge. Tiang ga hou xie liao ho. Everything done, then turn around, hui xiang already, you know, dedication, then turn around, then chu ban, where's the box? Because the middle chanting is facing each other ma. Then towards the end, all facing front. Somebody actually come in, then help themselves to the box, you know. So it ever happened before. I was told by this senior. Yeah. So there are many things in our life we don't necessarily feel that there's blessing. Yeah, you are right. To a large degree, when we feel that there's a blessing, is that maybe we feel lucky, yeah, or maybe things go our way. Yeah, as expected. But actually a lot of things go our way not because it's supposed to go our way, no, but because of many other conditions, that's why it go this way. Yeah. And in a way, if you understand it in this direction, actually our life is very blessed already. Very blessed. So then the question is it technically possible to bless the house? Is it technically possible to bless the house? Yeah. So one way to look at blessing is to have things go your way, right? Yeah. So blessing the house means let the house go the way the house want to be. But the house is not a living thing. What? How to bless the house if it's not a living thing? Or another definition of house blessing is to purify the place. But when we talk about purification, purification is about wholesome and unwholesome. Yeah? As opposed to impure, that's pure. So when we say it's pure, it means it's wholesome. Impure means unwholesome. So purification can be defined as making something from impure to pure, or from pure to even purer. Yeah? Maybe initially was partially pure, partially impure, to make it perfectly pure. We can say that that is a way of looking at purification or house blessing. But then if you think about it, then something is missing. Well, because the house or a premise is, rightly speaking, a physical object, doesn't have mind. If it doesn't have mind, then how do you purify it? Yeah, no mind, no purification. Yeah, only the mind is capable of pure and impure. And it is the effort that we put in to be pure even when the circumstances is trying, that there is merit. On some days, maybe we give in to defilements. They're not happy. Then maybe at work, maybe not us, maybe some people. Yeah, you have ever encountered, you ask someone for an invoice, for an approval. You usually approve, but the day, bad mood, so don't approve. Yeah. Every day when you use a handphone, does your handphone have any mood? Sometimes we feel that way, isn't it? Because sometimes your phone don't work. Then we feel like, today my handphone bad mood. Actually, does your handphone have a mood? If your handphone has a mood, right, you better submit it for investigation. Maybe it's haunted or possessed, you know? Because technically, it should work according to the specification. As long as there's suitable battery, every time you press a button, it should power up, which means that even when the screen is off, there is a background process that is checking for contact with the button. Yeah, that's what allows the phone to so-called wake up, because there was one process, at least one, a whole series of processes that is actually still active. Yeah, and to further the illustration, imagine if you are upset with your, let's say, family or your friends, and you want to send a nasty text. So open up, let's say, Telegram, and you text. Yeah. Oh, sorry, I opened the wrong one. Telegram. Yeah. And then you want to post something. Yeah. And you write. If your phone, does your phone censor what you write? Yeah, you send nasty messages to your friend, and then the phone translate it to something nice. Actually, sometimes the autocorrect. Yeah, but the autocorrect follow certain algorithm. Yeah, does it purposely do it? No. It's just following a certain supposed linguistic algorithm. Yeah, it's following its known dictionary. It's not following a certain mood. It doesn't decide. It's technically possible to write the keyboard input to have a mood. Yeah, that would be interesting. Maybe I should go and write something like that. Yeah, and call it the moody keyboard. Yeah, and then sometimes when you write, then it will send nothing. Sometimes it will send something. Yeah. Fortunately for us, most software applications and hardware don't behave in this way. Why? Because it doesn't have a mind. No mind, no mood. No mood, no surprises. The only time when you get surprised is when the hardware breaks down, or there's a bug in the software. Yeah. So, as a result, things like handphone, things like the cushion you're sitting in, don't complain when you use it. Even if it appears to complain, like it tells you pop up battery low, it is because there was a human being who coded that in. Yeah? Your chair don't have mood. So today when you sit, tomorrow you sit, the chair don't complain. If your chair has a mood, imagine if you are a chair, okay? Yeah. Do you want people to sit on you? Depends on, maybe some of you have that aspiration when you are young. When your mommy asks you, what do you want to do when you grow up? Then you are like, I want to be a chair. Do you want to be a chair? Say yes. Yes, ah. Really, don't be a chair. Let people sit on you. Yeah. But imagine if your chair is sentient. That means it has mind, it has emotions. Then some days when it's feeling good, then you sit down, it makes you feel very comfortable. Then some days when it's in a bad mood, you sit down, it collapses. Well, that would be scary. And what about your door? What if your door has mood? Some days it opens, some days don't open. And then some days when you're sleeping, it opens itself. That would be scary, isn't it? Yeah. Usually doors and chairs don't do that. Yeah. That's why when you watch movies or you hear some tales, right? When the door opens by itself, we say haunted. But the truth is, in general, tables, chairs, non-living things, or rather, in Buddhism, we say non-sentient objects. That means no mind. Yeah? No mind, it doesn't distinguish, it doesn't think, and death, and as a result, it doesn't have discrimination, and it doesn't have likes or dislikes. Consequently, it cannot give rise to wholesome unwholesomeness. Then we have to ask a question. Back to the question. What are we blessing? Many times when people ask me to do house blessing, most people, I don't know about the standard rate. I'm not talking about the fees, no fees. I'm talking about how fast people do house blessing. I don't know how fast other venerables do. But mine usually take at least 1-2 hours. There was once I was in a monastery. Then I was told that there are some devotees who want to release the fish. So one monk came over and texted me and asked me whether I know how to chant Da Bei Zhou. Then I'm like, can ah. Yeah, I was quite new back then. So I said, okay. So I went down, meet them. Then they were quite ready to function already. Then I said, oh, we need to do some chanting first. Then, oh, okay. Then I said, but before we do chanting, I need to do some explanation. So after the explanation, then we do some chanting. After chanting, I did more explanation. The whole process took about 2-3 hours. Yeah. That was the first and last time that monk called me to do. About 10 over years ago, when I first came back to Singapore, this young couple wanted to get married. About 2007 or around 2006 or 7, thereabout. So they came to me for blessing, and then they pay respect, they kneel down, then I decided to give them the very pure blessing. I give them teaching. And they were kneeling down there. I gave them about 2-3 hours of blessing. they were very sincere, they continued kneeling there. At some point I did ask them to sit down. Yeah, so that's why my house blessing is usually very long. Yeah, so I will usually explain what I just shared with you. And that's why, in my opinion, even if you have invited, I usually request for the inhabitants to be present. Yeah, I haven't heard, maybe there are, but I haven't heard of anyone who say, never mind, you just pass me a key, I do house blessing, then after that I pass you back the key. I put it inside a letterbox. Seldom, very seldom. Usually we will try to get the whole family to be present where possible. If not, at least some key members to be there. Yeah. Why is that the case? It is because blessing can only touch those who are sentient. If they're not present, what are we blessing? What are we trying to purify? You know, first and foremost. So the inhabitants should be present and usually join the whole process. Yeah. But sometimes some students, they don't know how to do chanting. Yeah. So we invite them, we at least, that's where the teachings must come in. Yeah. And if they don't know how to chant the verses, then we give them a short verse to chant and help them, guide them to do some contemplation before we start the process. But I have one more funny story to tell you before I let you ask questions. Jialat, almost running out of time already. I should have allocated more time today because talking about house blessing, a lot of stories. There was one time I was invited as part of the IRO group. Do you remember last time? I think that was the Nikko Highway, you know, the collapse. So they invited religious leaders from, I think, about 8 or 10. Officially, there's 10, but I can't remember, about close to 10 that day. So I was representing Buddhism. So they picked us up from one place, and then we were in a shuttle bus. Then while going there, I look around. So there was this priest who was sitting next to me. I always say things that is not very... that people don't expect a monk to say. So I look at him and I say, "How? Busy, ah?" Then he said, "Yeah." Then he mentioned that, I don't know, before or after the event, there's another blessing he must go to. Yeah. So I said, suddenly this came to my mind. I look at him and I said, "Actually, why do we have to keep doing blessing throughout the whole year? They should just carry all of us in a helicopter, fly up, then one time bless the whole country, then look, cover one time for 1 year, then next year do it one more time. Or, you know, we should just do a one time for eternity cover, you know." Then he looked at me like... Yeah. I'm like, if I have the ability to just somehow bless Hamplang, I bless Hamplang, the whole world bless one time, two times, like three more times just for good coverage, you know. Right. If blessing is purely on the part of the blesser, that participation is not required on the one, the blessee, yeah, then I just do it in my place. I just... Then you all suddenly, how come today wake up, I feel very blessed. Blood nose, then you wear a spec. How come blur? Then you take out, my eyes, okay already, like, don't you wear specs? Correct? But doesn't quite work that way. Yeah. That's why we always try to get the inhabitants to be present. The same goes for whenever we go and sign up for prayers and so on. Most temples, the volunteers are instructed to tell those who are signing to at least try to come and participate. Yeah. Because it's not a matter of we just chan, then boom, magically, then you're blessed. It's that participation that plants the wholesome seed that can potentially bless you. So then some students ask, but how does that work? If you look at the Buddha's time, so far, maybe but if you look at the Pali Canon, the closest we can find to what we call house blessing today is when some village or some town, they build a new town hall, or someone build a new house, and then they invite the Buddha and his disciples to use it for the first night. And the description will be, so and so went to inform the Buddha agreed in silence, and then they went there at night, and then the Buddha would sit with his back against the central pillar, and the monks would sit around him, and then sometimes they will just spend the night there, and maybe the Buddha may give the disciples some teachings. Sometimes the villagers, they will come and be present, and after that the Buddha may give them a certain discourse. Yeah. And sometimes you may see this verse where the invitee, yeah, they would say to the Buddha, you know, that may the Blessed One like use this town hall out of compassion. Yeah. May that be for the welfare and well-being of, you know, the villagers, the town people, and so on. Yeah. And then the Buddha agrees in silence, and then use it. Kautima. The Buddha don't take some water and then spray here, spray there also. You know, today some of this, you know, evolve a bit. Yeah. Have you all thought about it? I mean, sometimes I do that also for house blessing. Spray. But sometimes I feel a bit kanchong, you know. You know why? Because some people, they have the thick flooring. You know, the wood parquet, then the wood furnishing, then the grand piano, then I... You know, and then the computer, then the guitar. I'm thinking about when I'm in chat, do you? Then I'm thinking, oh, jialat, start on the gym. Then I'm thinking to myself, will the devotees feel more blessed or feel more stressed? The one cannot spray water. What do they think in this way, you know? Yeah. Something interesting, Indians, from what I know, okay, they have this practice of spraying water on the ground. Do you know? You know why they do that? Do you know why they do that? Now, maybe you all can ask your Indian friends. They may have some explanation. But I heard of two explanations. One is the spiritual one, that today become a spiritual practice for spray water, then like what we are doing. But originally, I heard, is that because India very hot and very dusty. So when they spray water, it causes the dust to settle down. Then it's cleaner and also cool down the place. So two purposes, both are practical. Yeah. So, but over time, then we continue doing this until in-house, we also do this. So I've ever even seen some groups, they use the spray, you know. Yeah, they fill with water, then they just psh, psh, psh. Actually quite effective. It's very cooling, you know. Because, like, very cooling also. Yeah. But to me, the process of going, the experience of going through that process as we walk through the house, door to door, room to room, and then doing something wholesome. Not quarrelling, not going around, "Aiya, don't push me lah," but very calmly, very serenely, going through each part, every nook and crevice. Yeah, every single corner of the house, okay, almost roughly, go around and doing something wholesome, leaves an imprint. Just like when you go for a holiday, then you want to go with your favorite person, ma. But imagine if you go to a certain place for holiday, then quarrel. Next time, don't go back there. Right. But if you went to some place, maybe some restaurant with some friends, and such a nice experience. Then every time you hope to go back there. Why? Because it makes you remember how good it was. In the same way, when we do house blessing, it's doing that. Except that now, it's not planting the seeds of attachment, but it's planting seeds of wholesomeness, connecting you to the Dharma. And so I share with some students, we can do all this, but how much it bless you depends mainly on you, actually. Because maybe if you don't have good memory, by the time we finish, you cannot remember anything. No. Then how? But still, we don't say no effect, you know, but maybe smaller. But if, let's say, it leaves a very strong imprint, very strong impression, wholesome impression, then what happened? Maybe 3 days later, maybe 3 weeks later, maybe 3 months later, bound to have some conflict, ma. Correct or not? Any of you enlightened? 开玩笑, enlightened don't have to attend my class already. If you're not enlightened, will you all at some point have some disagreement? Yes. And when you have disagreement, do you all sit down and say, "Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu"? Do you do that? Do you sit down and say, "Let's look at what the Buddha said"? Do you do that? No. immediately, wow, why you always like that? Huh? Why you want? Yeah? But it is hope, yeah, that before you even reach that point, when that person do something, then that memory, that impression, that seed of Sifu being at your place, maybe not this Sifu, any Sifu, yeah, that may ripen and remind you of the wholesome connection. And then in turn remind you of the teachings. And everything coming together, if it is stronger than the defilement at that point in time, then you win, no? Then you don't blow up more. Yeah. Then instead of responding in the usual way, what do you want? Then you take a deep breath. And then you're like, okay. Doesn't mean that blessing then never have quarrel. It's just that before quarrel happen, before you blow up, you get reminded of the teachings. And that's why I often, whenever I do house blessing, I also remind us, the devotees, you know, try to do daily practices as a family together. Then you keep on planting new links together as a family with the Dharma. Not the Tansen Su, the, you know, kind of link. Not the link that is based on greed, hatred, and delusion. Yeah, not based on defilements, but linked with the Dharma. And if you do it regularly, then you are blessing yourself. Yeah. Other kind of blessing that maybe some people, you know, say, you just put this at home like that, then like this, like that, you hang this here, then you put this here, you know, like that, then, wow, we'll never quarrel again. You can try, lah. You can try. You know, if you want to try that, I have an easier way for you to never quarrel. I draw for you. Something very simple. No, not an egg. And in case you don't know what this is, let me write down. Yes. Very simple. This one, confirm work. Yeah. You just buy one roll of masking tape. Piece. Cannot quarrel already. You don't need Sifu to go and do blessing. But you may am xiong. You want to say out, cannot say out. This doesn't solve the root problem. Actual blessing, the Dharma blessing, is supposed to solve the inner problem, such that even when things don't go our way, we don't blow up. Yeah, that is a true blessing. Yeah. Our usual idea of blessing is feel lucky. That's normal. Yeah, because who doesn't want things to go our way? Yeah, but that's the worldly notion of blessing. When things go my way, then I feel blessed. Yeah. Why? Sifu, naturally, when things go my way, then I'm happy, ma. Don't go my way, then I'm not happy, ma. That's the viewpoint of a putujana, a worldling. Yeah. But as we learn the Dharma, then out of 10 times, maybe we still retain 5 times. 5 times, I still want things to go my way. But in the past, it's 10 times out of 10 times. Then as we learn Dharma, then it should reduce. Maybe now, 7 times out of 10 times, I want things to go my way. 3 times, I can accept whether it go my way or not. Then that is blessing, because then you are in control of your life, truly in control. Our idea of blessing is I can control everything according to what I want. Then we think that is blessing. In Buddhism, from the Buddha's wisdom, no. The true blessing is to be in control of yourself. Yeah, that you can decide for yourself. You want to be happy or not. You can manage your emotion. You can manage your mind. You can be in control of your temper. That is the high, very good blessing. Yeah, but to do that, it's not simply just some magical Sifu Chan Wan Tapit or whatever. Yeah. But if you look at the Buddha's teaching, we associate with good spiritual friends, those who can share with us, guide us, encourage us, spur us to towards the Dharma. And then when we associate with people like that, we learn from them, whether from Shifu, from your Dharma friends, whoever. Or even on YouTube, you go and watch Dharma talks, yeah, you read books. Of course, you must go and read your Harry Potter, la, what, whatever. But slowly you read some Dharma books. Yeah. Then from all these sources, you get what? You get to hear the right Dharma. And as you get to hear the right Dharma, you retain it, then you can reflect on it. Yeah. Then, 清净善知识听闻正法如理作意, then you can reflect accordingly, and then you can pay attention accordingly, then fa sui fa sing, then you can practice accordingly, then you can truly can transform yourself to have the highest blessing. So those who want to invite Sifu to do house blessing, please make an appointment, let me know, and indicate in your text whether you want the Dharma house blessing or the masking tape blessing. Okay. We have 3 minutes left for you to ask me anything. Yes, Lai.
Is it true that doing house blessing will cast away evil spirits?
Ah, yes. I know all of you have been waiting to ask this question. So the question is, before I answer that, why do people always think that they have evil spirits at home? You know why? You know why people think in that way? Because things don't go their way. You know? When the people win 4D, they never think that it's some spirits who let them win 4D, you know. Yeah. But when they get scolded by their boss, then they think, jialat, got evil spirits. When they quarrel with their family members, then they think, evil spirits. They never think, my bad temper. They only think about evil outside. They don't think about the evil inside. Yeah. But are there really spirits? Yes. In the sutta, we see the monks get disturbed by some of the spirits. In one of the sutta, in fact, the sutta that introduced the metta, before the part that we recite, there's actually this background story. Some monks went to stay at a certain place, and then they were disturbed by spirits. Well, even monks get disturbed. So if you get disturbed, don't be surprised. Hey, how can I get disturbed? Monks also get disturbed. You think you're so special. But the important thing is that the monks get disturbed, then they go and look for the Buddha. Then the Buddha told them, oh, when you all come to this place, did you all radiate metta to them, to the beings around? Oh, didn't. Then the Buddha explained, because when you went to stay there and you didn't, you know, make clear your intention. When we say you radiate metta, in a way it's making clear your intention. You know, if you look at the Metta Sutta, it's basically changing our mindset. Instead of just always being concerned about ourselves, to care for others. So if you repeatedly, you know, radiate such thoughts, then the spirits can be assured, oh, these people come here, you don't have to worry about them. They are quite okay people. Now that's basically the gist of it, you know. So the Buddha advised the monks to go back, radiate metta, and assure them that the monks staying there doesn't mean that the monks is going to chase them away. Then in this way, the spirits left them alone and they live in harmony. But for most people cannot accept that. Ah, Sifu, you mean Buddhists, when we have spirits at home, then you all come to chant, it's so that we live in harmony together. You're not chasing them away. Yeah, we don't chase people around. You think what, we are the secret society here. Yeah, we are not security team, no. You all invite us, then we go there, and then Ghostbusters. Huh? Yeah, can you imagine? Sifu go there, like, where is the spirit? Fight with them. Cannot be. Yeah, we go there to make peace with them, to say, hello, how are you? Are you okay? Do you need counseling? You need counseling, we go outside and counsel. You don't disturb people. Yeah, you need some chanting or not, we chant some more. Don't worry, I'll ask the family to chant for you, okay? Yeah. So, technically in Buddhism, we don't have the notion of exorcism, in a way. Yeah. But the effects appear to most people to be the same. Yeah, except that our approach is not to go and vanquish, destroy them. Yeah. However, if you look at the sutta, there are some instances where there's such a being called Mara. Yeah. And you see the conversation between Mara and the Buddha's disciples, where Mara come and disturb the monks and nuns. And they call out Mara and say, "You evil one, I see you." Mm. And then Mara, knowing that he has been recognized, he leave. Yeah. Doesn't mean that monks and nuns go around looking for Mara. "Ah, I see you, you go. I see you, you go." You know, nothing better to do. But it's just that Mara in particular, he's quite interesting. He likes people to enjoy life. So when he see the monks and nuns, you know, not enjoying themselves, so he very kankor, you know. He's like our good friend in school, who don't like us to study. So when he see us study, he will come and chuchu us. "Hey, you study so hard for what? You already got A, was. Don't study lah. At most get B, ma. Huh? Come now, let's go. Hey, don't study. Don't do homework. Why you so hard working? La 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 la." Mara is something like that, you know. Yeah. So most people actually don't have to worry about that. You know why? Because without Mara encouraging us, we ourselves are doing it already. Yeah, so Mara leave most people alone. Except those who are really practicing, then Mara will come and disturb. Yeah. So for most householders, most lay people's house, most of you all don't have to worry about Mara. Yeah. Because you all are the Mara disciple. When your family member want to practice, then you're like, hey, you practice so hard already. Huh? This afternoon already attend SGC. Huh? Don't have to practice anymore. At night, don't have to chant really. Come, let's watch movie. Let's go out for supper. Sometimes, knowingly, unknowingly, we behave like Mara. Whenever people want to practice and we tell them, don't have to be so, you must know. You go look in the mirror, you see Mara. Yeah. So don't have to go and look for Mara to exercise, you know, or to go and vanquish. Every day when you wake up, look in the mirror, ask yourself, do you want to be Mara or Buddha? Yeah. Mara. Mara is a name of, in a way, like a tempter. Yeah. So anything that anyone or anything that obstructs others from cultivation, and that is called Mara. For most of us, it's not the Mara outside, it's our own defilements, our own preferences, yeah, our own mind that is the Mara. We sit a bit, then we think, so boring. We sit a bit, leg very painful. My leg is gonna break. Better don't sit. Later by car. Then we stop ourselves, you know, we are very worried. My back aches. My headache. My nose block. Cannot breathe. Very stuffy. All kinds of reasons. In school, when a teacher tells us, okay, you have 2 hours, write an essay, 500 words. We sit there for half an hour, cannot write anything, no. But when we are meditating, our mind is so creative, you know. In 5 minutes, come out with 25 different reasons why we should stop meditating. Yeah. So we are very good at Mara's work. Okay, any other next question? Yes. Yes.
MRT
before they open.
All the monks and all the different religions. Then I ever attended.
Yeah.
And I realized that the Taoists will be singing, don't know what, because I don't understand. Then I see the monk.
You see the monk?
The monk.
Like that?
No. Then I think, you know, the Theravada monk.
Don't do until like that, like what does this mean?
When I look at all this, I really wonder what these people are doing. They all do it together. And I really wonder what each of them, they're praying or the chanting that helps. And I ask this question, what is the effect after all this
Hope lah. It's like, you know, when you buy a new computer, right? Then it comes with the free antivirus, right? You also don't know how antivirus works. But since it's free, you also use it. Then later, when they ask you to renew it, then you're like, hey, have to renew or not? Better renew lah. Just install lah. You can download the free version. Then, but you also don't know what the antivirus is doing. You also install. Hope that it blocked the virus lah. Hope lah.
Because when I know this night, many years before it break down. And then when it comes to Circle Line, the length getting shorter.
Why? Is it because they never call enough?
No, the more they call, the more it breaks
down. The more you call, the more it breaks down.
The downtown lines break down on the day of opening.
So you think about it. Have they ever called Shifu to go for it? No. We are recording. Don't anything else say. Later I'm very busy. I don't want. Yeah. No lah. It's very simple lah. You see, again, I don't say that it is not possible that some spirits go and disturb the trade. Is it possible? Possible. Why not? Yeah. In Buddhism, there's six realms, ma. Then the realm, in the ghost realm, not all the ghosts is so jialat, hungry. That's the extreme suffering there. But in the ghost spirit realm, there are some with merit. Yeah, but because of the attachment, then stuck there. But most of the time, they have nothing better to do. Come and disturb us. Yeah. So unless something happened. So I don't say that such things don't happen. But from what we see, the breakdowns don't seem to be due to spirits. Due to another kind of spirit. The kind of non-maintenance spirit. So you notice that recently with the new CEO, the breakdown. Like recently, I don't see any posting on Facebook. But who knows, maybe tonight, Delhi, North, South Line. This morning twice. So, as coming from computer engineering, physical things, like computers and all these things, they function based on specification. Yeah. Recently, I was sharing with a friend, about how, recently they talk about 5G lah, all those things. Hardware specification is CA. Yeah, you come up with a specification, everybody come up with their equipment following that specification. And as long as you fulfill that, it will work. You don't need someone to chant something for it to activate one, don't need. Yeah, you just have to pay for the license fee, then you can use already. Yeah, hardware equipments function that way. But computer hardware, most of the time there's no servicing required because it's all sealed. Yeah, clean room sealed. You don't, no such thing as, after a year, then you, then your friend ask you, your hard disk never change oil. Have you thought about it? Your hard disk don't change oil. Hard disk don't change oil because it's vacuum sealed in the clean room, you know. Once you open, particle count hit thousands already. It's not supposed to run already. Yeah, very strict, very tight control. But MRT train is a different kind of hardware. You need to have routine gear chip parts change. Even before it breaks down, you're supposed to change. Yeah, and all the parts have something called engineering MTBF, mean time before failure. Yeah. This is actually not something that I should be so familiar, but we also learn a bit of that. Yeah. So especially in mechanical production engineering, MTBF is, this is extra knowledge for everybody. Come on, class, every time you get extra knowledge. Yeah, you remember these four letters, MTBF, mean time before failure. That means you produce 100,000 set, and you let everybody use different scenarios, but all within specification. There is that you will produce a certain result that is called the Bayesian result. So the first, there'll be high failure rate initially. Yeah, initially there'll be high failure rate, but this is usually a very small number. Yeah, and these are due to not systematic error. It's just mass production. There will be some that somehow missed the mark and wasn't caught, because they cannot do 100% tests. They'll do sampling tests, and as long as it's a sample, error rate drops below a certain amount, they will release it. Yeah. So there'll be some that fall out of it, and it is this segment here. Yeah. So this gives initial confidence. Usually the Bayesian is not like that. Usually, this is a non-zero amount. This is a non-zero value. This amount can be adjusted according to engineering processes. Yeah. And we fine-tune it so that, for what purpose? If you make it zero, you increase production costs. So you increase it so that you reduce production costs. That means you reduce quality. But you cannot reduce too much. You reduce too much, then you have bad reputation. Everybody thinks it's breaking down. So you reduce enough to cut costs, but not enough for many people to complain. Then the warranty period come in around here. Yeah. So this can be adjusted also, Yeah. The first production run is usually over-engineered. And once it has gone for a run, past the initial test, then another engineering team that specializes for optimization, they will look at the circuit and say, do we really need this capacitor? How much do we save if we take out this capacitor and replace with a diode, or we replace it with something else? Can we take out these two capacitors and put just one there? Things like that. The first run is over-engineered, so die-die will work. Subsequent ones is usually optimized, and it will cut costs tremendously, and this will be adjusted such that, our 1 year warranty, this is a standard 1 year. Yeah, beyond this, high failure rate again. So those of you who manage to use a computer beyond 1 year, you should feel very blessed, God's not supposed to. Yeah. One of these days, your computer is meant to die because of this curve. Yeah, but because at a certain point, once you produce for a long time, there's no more value to adjust this too much. So this over time also go further. Yeah. The point coming back to the trainer is that those different parts when they produce, they have this value. They internally must have, and they will pass to the big vendor, right? And they will tell you what is the MTBF. So all the servicing is based on this MTBF. So this is the MTBF, and this is where the repair person, they must schedule in. Okay, we have maybe, let's say, 1,000 trains, and how many trains were deployed in January, how many trains were deployed next year January, how many trains were deployed. No such thing as all go out together. Then how many trains should undergo repair? Yeah. Why do trains break down suddenly? There will be such cases, but it should be only this low. Yeah, it should only be this low. Yeah. If you do the servicing correct, you shouldn't hit this. It is when they don't do this servicing, then we were hitting this recently. The past few years fiasco explained in one chart. Yeah, so nothing to do with whether we go in chart or not.
So
the
second question.
Oh, still have second question. Like.
Okay, I heard people saying,
Fu Ren Zhu Fu Di.
So they must have accumulated a marriage, then they will be able to stay in a house that is
a place of, it's an auspicious place.
Yes. So how do we explain this?
So let me answer your question in a different way. So her question was, it is said that those with fortune will stay in auspicious place. Yeah? This is a Chinese saying. So I will answer her question in this way. One senior monk once told me this. He said, you know, Chinese have this feng shui concept, right? 坐北朝南，坐山，看海 or whatever, something like that. So then he said, China, there's this saying, 坐北朝南. If I give you enough time, I'm sure you can figure out, but we don't have time, so I tell you. 坐北朝南 means you sit with your back towards the north and you're facing south. Why? Because almost the whole of China is in the northern hemisphere. So when you sit with your back towards the north and facing south, you are facing the sun. So if your house faces the sun, then you would actually what? You would get sunlight coming in, and your house will be well ventilated. It will not be damp. It will be good for, suitable for staying. So he said, but Chinese are sometimes very funny. The later generations, they just take this yang hua hulu, they take the same model and just apply everywhere. So they, when they go to Australia, also 坐北朝南. Then to Bali. Then it doesn't work at all. Then in Singapore, everywhere you go, there's sun. 坐什么北，坐朝什么南. Yeah. I happen to meet many interesting people who, not that they are superstitious or what, but they have some background knowledge of Chinese culture, Chinese, some of the, the actual background of how it come about. I had even this student, she was I think she's still an interior design director. She was working with this, what do you call that, real estate developer conglomerate. So the company basically buy this land and then develop it. Then she's the last person to sign off on all the interior design, from each unit per design to the restaurant, to the mall, whatever, everything, she will look through all the interior design. And she told me that her master's thesis was on 四合院. You know, a traditional Chinese house? 四合院. Yeah, where they have the front courtyard, then the first hall, then the inner courtyard, and then and so on. Yeah. So she shared a bit with me. And through that process, she also had to go and research on feng shui. So she said, actually, a lot of times what we think about feng shui today is a combination of what it was plus some, you know, mumbo jumbo. She said that originally feng shui was a very, very straightforward understanding of how the physical space affect us. I want to wrap up in a way linked to this house blessing. Some of you may have heard me tell you this story. Yeah, the story of this feng shui master and this guy. So he moved to a new house. Short story. Then, after staying for a while, started having headache. Head pain, you know. So he thought, maybe feng shui not good. So he looked for feng shui master. So feng shui master come, look around. Then he said, no problem, can be solved. Oh, how? I write you a talisman. Then you just paste it on the beam, but it will cost you some money. Okay, no problem, pay. So he did, he stick, he pay. Then he said, come back and see me after a few weeks. Sure enough, a few weeks later he came back. He said, hey, really works well. My head is no longer painful. How are? This is so miraculous, amazing. Why did it work? Don't ask. No, you must tell me. I'm very curious. How come it works? I said, you really want to know? I said, yes. Let me tell you. Your bin is too low. You don't get it, right? The bin is too low. So stick the talisman there, then you don't knock your head on it. You understand or not? Now, some people, when you hear this story, you may think that Sifu is making fun of Feng Shui. No. It's actually highlighting that there's some very practical basis that is behind Feng Shui. Not so, If you go back and look at a house, some people's house here, every day you ask yourself, what are the few places you go? Although our house is only that big, but there's that few places that you every day regularly go. Go toilet, go kitchen, go living room and your bedroom, right? But if in between you go and put one thing, you see whether you have been in a good mood, every day you must walk around, yeah? Or there's this sharp edge, every time you knock a bit. The trouble is these small little knocks that don't hurt you so much immediately. So you feel a bit concord, but you are not so aware to remove it. Then over time, it makes your mood feel big tick, no? And you also don't know what you're big tick about. Yeah. The same goes for many other things. So those who want to have consultation, please make an appointment with me. And please indicate masking tape or Dharma. Yuan xiao san zhang zhu fan nao. Yuan de zhi hui zhen ming liao. Pu yuan zui zhang xi xiao chu. Shi shi chang xing pu sa dao. Amitabha Phật. 起立。